Welcome to the Sales Navigator Live Show with Stan and Bryn. Join LinkedIn expert and sales professional Bryn Tillman and me, Stan Robinson Jr., Chief Coaching Officer here at Social Sales Link, as we bring you the best tips and strategies for leveraging Sales Navigator for your sales success. Enjoy the show.
Howdy. Now, if I didn't know better, I would think you were in a new location, but I understand it's not that far.
Yeah, for those of you watching live, we refinished our basement. I thought I'd work from here today. So calling from the underground.
There you go. Underground.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've enjoyed working down here just for a little change of pace.
Yes, it's nice to have those options.
It is. So I'm very, very excited today for two reasons. The first reason is our topic, which is like huge, that I'll let you announce in a minute. But the second one is, it's going to start to sound like not good news, but it is good news. This is our last podcast of Sales Nav with Stan and Bryn. But we are merging into Making Sales Social. So welcome, Stan, to the Making Sales Social co-hosting team.
Thank you.
We're thrilled to have the trifecta, Bob Woods, yourself, and myself on the Making Sales Social podcast. But what a way to end this podcast with the mother of all reports. Let's talk about this a little bit.
Yes. So LinkedIn Sales Solutions just last week, announced a brand new report done by a third party company.
It involved Ipsos.
Yes. Thank you. And it involved extensive research in terms of the number of sellers that they surveyed and buyers as well, which was they had some great insights in terms of buyers, which is always helpful. So we wanted to kind of bring you high level some of the highlights from the new B2B sales playbook. It's a nice long title from LinkedIn Sales Solutions, but they called it a B2B sales playbook, and it's filled with great actionable advice and stats.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this, and we've kind of drilled it down because this could be an entire course in of itself. But there were some major takeaways from this, so I'll let you get started. I can't wait to dive in.
Yes, so I'm going to kind of flip back and forth here. Let me pull this over here. So it's on today because the report was extensive and there were 10 behaviors that the research identified that helped set the very top salespeople and what they call deep sellers apart from everyone else. And one of the things that they found were, and as we go over these 10 behaviors, you'll see how this all comes together. But the top performers did 10 things consistently, and top performers were twice as likely to hit or exceed their quota as everybody else. So the people that are doing these 10 behaviors that we're going to share with you, and you know, the reason we're sharing them is because anyone can do them. It's just a matter of knowing what they are and applying consistently doing them.
Yeah, I love it. So let's get started with number one.
So interestingly enough, and thank you, and that makes it so much easier. The themes are research, relationships, and probably relationships again.
Right, because they call it hidden allies.
Yeah.
Which to me are, you're right. And that's the first time I'm thinking about this, but it really is doubling down on relationships.
Yeah. Yep. But one of the first of the 10, research prospects. And as you see, well, those who are watching can see, but let me go ahead and read it for those who are listening. Research prospects do significantly more research on prospects before outreach. The top sellers did it much more than they did 12 months ago. So the key is you need to know who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Bryn, I know you have many stories of people calling you, offering LinkedIn training and all kinds of great stuff, which are examples of what not to do.
Yeah. So here's the, and I'm going to start with the easiest thing is our 2x2. Find two things about someone, spend 2 minutes finding two things about someone before you get on a call. But I'll tell you, Sam, one of my big frustrations/pet peeves, and I hate to have pet peeves, but this is a big one for me, is almost every single one of my phone calls stems from a LinkedIn connection or a LinkedIn engagement. And often they've reached out to me and they're prospecting to me, and you got through my skepticism and you got through, like, you've got my attention and you got me to say, yes, I'll talk to you, which took a lot of invested time. Mm-hmm. And then you get a call, you get on the call with me, and the first question is, so Bryn, where do you live? Where are you located? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is the very first, like, easy to find thing, right? So if you said, hey Bryn, I noticed you listed Greater New York City or in the New York City metropolitan area on your profile, are you in the city? And I'd say, no, I'm in the New Jersey suburbs, right? But at least I felt like, oh my goodness, you did a little bit. But let's even go further in this, beyond just researching, you know, the couple things on my profile. Take a look at who my clients are. Most of the time you could find them either in my recommendations or on the website. Find out what trends are happening in my industry, in the industry of my clients, right? So maybe I sell SaaS software to sales teams. What's happening in the sales world, right? What's happening in the software industry? What trends are happening? Like, know a little bit, and we'll get to why those behaviors matter. But right, so this is, when you're, and actually this falls under a habit of prioritizing high potential accounts, is doing that research first.
Research. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I jumped ahead to number two in that.
Yeah, we kind of folded those in because the first one, high level, is research on the industry.
I know, I messed up, Stan.
Yeah, no, that part's okay, because you also covered number two, which is research before reach out.
I read it the exact same way. That's so funny. Research before reach out. Yeah, research customers.
Yeah. So when you're contacting prospects, they appreciate the fact that you've done your research. Conversely, mm-hmm. it's very obvious when you haven't done your research, and then you're starting off on the wrong foot. So don't do that. Now, when we say, how do you decide what model to invest time, energy, and money in? This is from something else. I remember exactly what it is, because it had to do with recurring revenue models. But I know that in this list of 10, the first one is prioritizing industry research to give you an edge mm-hmm. over competitors. Research before you reach out is something that's appreciated. People appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to spend some time on their LinkedIn profile, learn a little bit about them so you can personalize the conversation. And then the third one is using sales intelligence tools to prioritize your highest value accounts. Because one of the things that the top sellers do is they manage their activities very effectively. And a lot of times we'll call it time management, but truth be told, we can't manage time. It's going to go by regardless, but we can manage our activities. So using sales intelligence tools like sales intelligence software, and there are many of them out there. Sales Navigator is a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. To help prioritize the accounts you're going to spend most of your time with.
So, and I'm going to share, there's so many. There's Zoom Info out there. There's Rel Pro, which can give you incredible insights, especially if you're a banker, because it'll give you where you're lending, any liens that you have, all those fun things that a banker might want to know. But there are so many research tools out there. Find the one that's giving you the information that you need in order to move the deal forward, right? But take advantage of that. So from a Sales Navigator perspective, they rolled out Account IQ. So I don't know if you want to talk about Account IQ a little bit.
Yeah, so the Account IQ uses AI. Their Sales Nav keeps building that into what they're offering. And it allows you with one click to get a great dashboard summary of everything from how this particular company makes money to what some of their strategic priorities are, what their competitive landscape looks like, key people, what's happening in the news around the company. So with just one click, AI can pull together a lot of information that formerly you may have had to look in a number of places for before you reached out to the company. So
yeah, and I'll throw out a free one, just Google Alerts on specific industries, right? And so it is definitely a little bit more work, and you know, you can spend a little more time doing that deep dive research, but Google Alerts is great. I had Google Alerts set up for quite a few different prospects years ago, and I got an alert about a press release where they were acquiring a small company. And that was enough for me to say, hey, you've got to merge brands. Let's talk about LinkedIn profile makeovers now that you're bringing over, it was like 14 employees, so that when you launch publicly, everyone's prepared, and I got the work, right? So, and that came from a Google alert. So take advantage. You really do want to leverage the sales intelligence center, the intelligence, the triggers out there that can create or open up opportunities.
Yeah, great point. And Google Alerts is so good because it's free.
Yeah.
You just go there. And if you're not sure how to do it, just Google Alerts and you'll be good to go.
That's right. Now, Google will teach you how to use Google Alerts. That's very good.
So number four, create warm paths through connections. And by that, we mean researching and identifying people in the networks of the people that you're reaching out to, like current teammates, former colleagues, connections from working at the company that you're targeting. And warm paths also, because can include content, by the way. So you can look at what they're posting on LinkedIn and use that. Now, I don't mean a warm path in terms of a person, but it's a warm way to engage with them if you've consumed their content and you've commented on it. But Bryn, anything you'd like to say about warm outreach?
Yeah. So this is like with the next few around this, it's like, this is like my passion, right? And so I love social proximity. Who are we connected to that can help us gain access to our influencers and buyers and stakeholders? So I love that there are, you know, beyond connections, we can find other ways to warm something up. But these pathways through identifying specific people that we have in common, and by the way, if you have Sales Navigator in a large company, TeamLink is a way that you could find coworkers that might have connections, to find even former colleagues, you know, or maybe you can identify clients that are connected to people. So, you know, the warmest connection is that you are connected to the decision maker. Next in line is that you may have a first degree connection to someone inside the organization that has the ear of the decision maker. But equal to that might be a client that plays golf with that decision maker, right? And so using, and you can use the free LinkedIn or Sales Navigator to really map out those pathways of who are you connected to that can help you get to the right person. And I'm going to go back to the very first one, which is research prospects, because, you know, we talk about researching the industry and companies, but when you're building a high priority, like potential accounts list, I really think this number four should be a huge piece of your decision making when you're building up the accounts to go after. So you can create, you know, I know, you know, between 500 and 1,000 employees with more than 10 people in sales and 2 people in marketing, and the, you know, these are my ideal prospects. And then you use your relationship filter, turn on the first degrees and the second degrees. And when you're building out your ideal clients, this is a really good way when you're creating the warm paths into those prospects.
Yep. Thank you. That is so powerful, because it's not just, okay, do they meet my ICP, my ideal customer profile, but just as importantly, how easy is it for me to be able to get into these accounts through my existing network, as you were talking about?
Absolutely.
So number five is around multi-threading more deeply into each account. And multi-threading is a fancy way of saying, hey, you want to have multiple connections within any given company, because the buying committee seems to keep expanding in terms of how many people within a company are involved in purchasing decisions, especially with larger companies. So related to that, because it looks like this is both five and six, establish at least seven.
Oh, did I do that? Nope, that's five. That's five. Multi-thread deeply into each account, establish at least seven relationships. Yep, I think that's all five.
And then...
The next one is utilize social networks, but I want to talk about multi-threading for a second before we jump into the next one. And I have the report open, so apologies. But multi-threading, here's the thing, is we learned from the Challenger sale and then the Challenger customer. So the Challenger sale was we're probably talking 17, 18 years ago by now. I'm not even sure. Like it was published many years ago, but it was based on data and a study. It was a 10-year study about salespeople. So that was the Challenger sale. And they identified that, I think there were 5.7 decision makers. And then a few years later, they did the Challenger customer. So, you know, we talked about, even you mentioned in the beginning of this, Stan, this is not just a report on the salesperson, on the sales process, but also the buying process. So the Challenger customer came out, and what they recognized is there were 6.8 decision maker. So as LinkedIn comes up with the seven, this really, in a way, is not a new stat, right? This is, you know, this is something that, you know, 6.87, right? You got to round up.
Exactly.
So what does this mean? This means that there's a committee making decisions now. It's not just one person. And so as a salesperson, we tend to hang on to our champion or coach or guide or, you know, whatever you might call that one person internally. So there's a plethora of mistakes that happen when we do this. The first one is, we know based on LinkedIn's data that there's a 20% turnover year over year. So our one contact, one in five of them in these accounts are leaving this year. That's a challenge. Number two, typically the person that we're talking to thinks they're the decision maker. And so when we ask them who other than yourself is involved, they're like, I own this project. What they own is the research of the project, really, right? They're not owning, unless it's the CEO of a small company and that's your decision maker. But if you are selling any kind of enterprise sale, you are going to have multiple people. Now, I will even tell you, I had a CEO, this was from an old company back in the day, a company we both worked for, but I worked for, where the CEO made a decision, a verbal decision to bring on our company as a collections company for their receivables. And the CFO said, wait, my cousin does this for a living, or my brother does this for a living. So even though I got a verbal from the CEO, I still was up against the CFO's family member. And while I didn't lose a lot of sales in that company, I lost that sale. So multi-threat, I should have, in retrospect, started the conversation with the CFO. I would have known early on and been able to overcome objections. If I had multi-threaded, even though there were only two people to multi-thread inside of that organization, I would have known the priorities. I would have known what I was up against. I would have known. And I lost it because I single-threaded, even though I thought, hey, it's the CEO.
If it's the CEO, you'd never think, well, what do I have to, you know, that's
off against, right?
Exactly.
But multi-threading, you want to make sure you're having conversations with all of the stakeholders.
Good deal.
So here is our number six.
So we're talking now about using social networks to identify and research the key people. And we're so used to talking about LinkedIn, that's the logical starting point. Now, some people do spend more time on X, formerly known as Twitter. So it doesn't hurt to look there as well for someone who, say, may not be that active on LinkedIn. Occasionally, they may be more active on another platform. And X is usually the one, as opposed to, well, these days it might be TikTok also, but as opposed to Facebook and Instagram in terms of what can actually give you some good business intelligence.
Yeah, so there's a lot that you can find out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, especially with larger companies. I hop into the customer service. I hop in to find out, you know, what questions or objections or issues are they seeing and how are they responding on Twitter? Because a lot of companies use Twitter, including LinkedIn, at LinkedIn Help. And so you can publicly see some of the challenges that a company is facing. And this is typically for a bigger company, right? But that's really kind of a fun way. The other one that's underutilized is YouTube. Go in and look at, it's usually all product pitch, but you can get an idea of their priorities beyond whatever their webmaster did on their website. You just get to kind of get an inside view on the players, right? And what they're putting out on YouTube. So there are lots of things that you do. And the last thing I'm going to say, which this was a real fun one a long time ago, and I may not get the story exactly right, but I'll get the concept close. John Ferrara, who is the CEO of Nimble, and I apologize, John, if I get this wrong, but so Nimble is a CRM software that feeds social feeds into your email. So does an amazing job of relationship building opportunities, rapport building opportunities. And he was trying to get in touch with someone that was not responding. Again, this is a half remembered story. But jumped on Instagram and noticed that person had just been on vacation in a place that John and his family go on vacation. So he reached out from a story of, hey, I don't remember where it was. Let's just say it was Aruba. I don't think it was Aruba. But, you know, So I saw your pictures of Aruba. Did you get to go to XYZ restaurant? That's my favorite restaurant that my whole family goes to when we go to Aruba. And the CEO responded, right? Why? Because he's still on a high from the vacation that he went on. And now that, so it goes beyond the what's going on in the industry, but personally, how are we connecting with people as well?
Yep, that is so powerful because a lot of people, the tendency is, especially in B2B, you think in terms of, well, I've got to connect around a business theme. And that is not
always
necessarily true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good deal. Now, next, they found that one of the key habits was the top sellers spend more time nurturing and building their trusted relationships. And that is one of the reasons why prioritizing your accounts is so important, because you only have so much time. And particularly if you're multi-threading within an organization, you can't do that across 100 or 200 accounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the top sellers do is they spend more time than less productive sellers nurturing those trusted relationships with the key people, both prospects and current customers, because it's so easy to forget about current customers. And, you know, current customers usually don't leave because they're dissatisfied with the product. They leave because they feel ignored.
That's right. That's right. And it's very easy to lose a client to a rep that gives them a little bit more attention, even if your product is better.
Yeah.
So that's great. Number eight.
This one is really cool. Gathering intelligence from hidden allies. And I think I believe, Brent, that's a term that Sales Solutions coined, because I haven't heard the term hidden allies.
I know, I love it.
Yep. And these are people outside the buying committee. So yes, you've got your seven or so, but they're people outside the buying committee, but who know what's going on in the organization.
So, oh, go ahead.
Now, that was it, because I was going to turn it over to you. There.
I'm going to tell you the magic in this. And this is something we've taught for years, and I love that it aligns with this, which is one of the things that you can do is you can search someone that worked in the company but no longer works there now, past, not current. So if I go past, not current, first degree connections, I might be able to find someone that used to work at that company, no longer does, but may have some insider scoop. And sometimes they sing like a canary, right? Like they're like, especially if they're if they were unhappy with the company, which, by the way, can give you so many insights. So just a quick story on past. So I happened to notice, and this actually came out of a job change. So someone left a company that I was prospecting, not the person that I was, not, it was not in the buying committee, just happened to be, I was connected to them, noticed they changed jobs, no longer there. And they were like, really upset, right? Because whatever reason, I think whether they were laid off or whatever happened, but it was not a happy party. But I was still prospecting that company. So I reached out and I said, well, you know, what happened? And she said to me, it was frustrating because they had laid off marketing, so we were no longer getting leads, right? And it was just so difficult to prospect. They didn't give us any really good tools. They gave us an email cadence, but it really didn't help. Well, that's information that I was able to now go back to the person I was talking to. And I never gave up who gave me the information and the frustration, but I did say, hey, I noticed on LinkedIn, you've got a little bit of turnover happening both in the marketing department and in the sales department. Typically, when this happens, there's some kind of significant impact, whether it's less marketing leads coming in, or, you know, or the salespeople now have more responsibility for hunting opportunities. Is that the case with you? She's like, it's like you read my mind. Right? And so they became a really good client. And by the way, kept a lot more salespeople that they might have left, because the salespeople now had tools to prospect.
To prospect, yep. So the salespeople are happy now.
Yeah. So those, that's just kind of one way that gathering intel from hidden allies, not just in the company, but that used to work in the company, is a big one. So
yes,
that's my story on that. I have so many stories, Stan.
Yes. Well, that part's good because it makes it real.
It is real.
Oh, that's how it actually happens.
Right. So take advantage of past, not current searches.
Yeah.
Number nine.
So let's see what.
Monitor social networks. So it's identified the best time to reach out to decision makers with relevant communication by monitoring your social networks and setting up alerts. So this, I think, is a little self-serving on LinkedIn's part. And this was the one. So I agree, monitoring social networks, identifying the best time to reach out, not time of day, but the best time in the buying or the sales process, reach out to decision makers with relevant communications. So for example, what triggers, what are happening inside of the company that say, hey, you know, this is an open opportunity for me to provide some insights based on what I see is happening internally. Here is something. Now, I know they used a third party, so they used Ipsos. But when they say their social networks and setting up alerts, well, I guess you could say Google Alerts or Google alerts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your own alerts. Yeah.
I was thinking triggers, right? But okay, set up alerts. So Sales Navigator, when you save an account or you save a lead, it will send you alerts. So, okay, I'm going to give them a pass because of Google Alerts, because it is
just Sales Nav.
But here's, right, what's happening. So let's think about what we can identify. Career changes, right? People moving around, promotions, mm-hmm. job changes, new hires. That's definitely a big one. Mergers, acquisitions, big opportunity, right? Press releases, which show up, even content shares. Most companies share content about their products and services, new launches, right? Even though we teach from a social selling perspective to not pitch so much, most companies do, right? So when we start to identify changes with decision makers, and monitoring like what's happening, if we have the right content, we can start the conversation at the right time. So I'll throw that back to you, Stan.
No, that is good. That's good because, excuse me, that was number nine, right?
Yes, that was number nine. And I'm just about to post 10. So,
all right. Stay up to date on industry news. And this is where AI can help, because all of us are inundated with information. And it's okay, well, what information is relevant for us? As Bryn, you were just saying, what information is a real trigger that you can use to start a sales conversation, as opposed to something that's not really relevant to the direction that you're trying to go in? And there's a lot of that news out there.
There is. So some of the things you can consider with this is interview heads of associations or people that run conferences and trade shows, or even keynote speakers for conferences and trade shows. So think about this. We want to stay up to date with industry news and what the industry cares about. keynotes are paid $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to share their insights, right? Why? Because it will attract the people that will pay to go listen to their insights about industry trends or what's happening, you know, relevant content. So go interview them. If you have a podcast, a live stream, interview them for a quote for an ebook. One of the best ways you could stay, you know, at the leading edge of the industry. Now, under leverage, or if you have people that are running a conference, let's say you sell SaaS and it's SaaStr is coming out. Who are the people that are all on the SaaStr committee that are typically ignored because they're behind the scenes? Mm-hmm. You know, talk with them. That's going to give you kind of that cutting edge, that leading edge, right? What is happening in the industry? Make sure you sign up for all the industry newsletters. Now, here's my final, like, take this to the next level, is learn about the industry your prospect serves. So if you are a SaaS product, let's say you're a SaaS sales product, and you are selling to sales teams, learn what are the best sales teams. So maybe you're selling to sales teams that sell forklifts or automotive parts. Go find out what's happening in their client's industry. Bring those insights when you reach out, and you will stand above and beyond the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. That I think Amanda said that's next level. And you won't have any competition when it comes to that, because no one else is doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that sets you apart from everybody else.
Stan, this was so much fun.
Thank you. Yep. Enjoyed this. And we just gave the tip of the iceberg on the report, but it was an awesome report. But these 10 things, you know, go back, re-listen to the podcast. Make sure you've got them, and then just start using them. And I look forward to joining the Making Sales Social podcast.
We're so excited to have you. Yeah. And I'm putting here the link. If you can see this, it actually did not post to LinkedIn, but the link to the report, it's lnkd.in. It's like a bit.ly for LinkedIn. So it's lnkd.in/deep sales playbook. So we'll put that in the show notes as well. I will make sure I get that over on LinkedIn. For whatever reason, my post here, it won't show. Maybe we can figure that out. But the next time you see Stan and me, we'll be together on Making Sales Social. He will continue to have conversations. We will continue to have conversations around Sales Navigator. We just decided to merge us all together. It made the most sense. So thank you, our loyal listeners, and we'll see you on the other side.
Yes. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. And join us again for more insights on Sales Navigator and social selling strategies that will differentiate you from your competitors and accelerate your sales success. In the meantime, you can go to socialsaleslink.com/library for free content on LinkedIn, Sales Navigator, and social selling.